New riff idea.
Fast, thank you. All right, get out of here. Oh boy, there's some confusion in there. I walked in, people were standing everywhere. Some people were standing way far away, some people were standing close, but I got my drink. I sort of cut in line, but didn't mean to, but she said it was okay. Yeah. But the good news is I got my drink. And that's that. Hi. Friendly people. Actually, they're not. Okay, that's another adventure to Starbucks. Tune in next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to another episode of Inspirato Projecto Podcast. Some might call it Inspirato Cast. That's a good name. Imagine that. You're casting the fishing pole. Inspirato Cast. You're casting it out there. You're baiting people with reflections of their own inner awesomeness. You're baiting them with that. You're going, remember, hearken back to the time of these times where you had these major accomplishments that you're very excited about, that had to do exactly with your passions and your talents and diving in there to it, bringing your A game, showing up for it. Let's remember those. And now how do we grow that? How do we bring that forth again? Because it can get easier and easier sometimes for people as they get older to get encrusted. They kind of grow barnacles on them throughout life, especially with holding grudges and stuff like that. It becomes a life of surviving, of figuring out what kind of flak jacket to wear, huh? So then before you know it, there's just these layers and layers and layers of these things that are examples in our brains of maybe when we were excited about something, then it didn't turn out the way that we imagined it to, or we really wanted that thing and it fell through, and so then we stopped learning how to be excited about our imaginations, basically, stop being excited about the possibilities of these astounding circumstances evolving into our reality experience. So we have counted in our brains all those times where things fell through, and unfortunately sometimes that holds more weight. We give some sort of value system to that as being the more important thing to think about. All of our failures, all the times where we said, bad, bad, Kurt. Oh, you did that wrong. Oh, you screwed that one up. Uh-oh, the whole team is dissatisfied with your choice. Uh-oh, wrong, colored outside of the lines again. Oh, gosh, can't believe you painted their skin green. What the heck are you thinking? You know, you just got these, it's easy for a person to have all these critics, just, bah. Well, what if we redefine those as just, you know, the suggestors? That would be interesting. We just start calling them suggestors. And now when we think of their voices and we think of the power behind, you know, the vibration of what their word choices are, instead of getting offended by it, we're just like, oh, how cute is that? Oh, look how cute that is. You know, you just kind of disregard it. What's interesting is bringing those good vibes to the surface, thinking about those, and not thinking that it's too late to dive back into those things, reopen them, get steam and momentum moving. That's the crazy magic trick of the whole thing. At least I've noticed in my reality experiences that by utilizing my current self as a you know, an avatar, sort of a player in the video game, the more I experiment with diving into creating the things I love doing, it seems like it opens up even more time for me to be able to get that thing done. The more my heart is in it, the more my integrity and authenticity is the needle on the record, the more it's like that, wowzers, time just opens up. It's incredible. It's so interesting. So, yeah, Inspirato Cast, putting that out there. Here's the bait. Hey, that's why I like talking to those Uber drivers, finding out what are your passions, what are your talents, what do you like doing, what are some of your hobbies, what do you do outside of this job of being, you know, in this car? What are some of those things? So to remind them of that and then implant some possibilities in their brains in ways in which they could utilize those talents. So ideally what has happened now is that seed is growing in their brains, and they're thinking about that. They might talk with somebody about that after they get off work. Oh, you know, honey, I had this conversation with this crazy, whacked-out cosmic guy. All he wanted to talk about was synchronicities, and all he wanted to talk about was my passions and talents, and I couldn't understand why he wanted so bad to know about these things, and why he was so helpful in giving me ideas and how to apply those things. But holy cow, I haven't thought about those things in a long time. I think I'm gonna pick up writing again. I think I'm gonna go ahead and write you a poem. How cool would that be? Holy moly! And then he says, hey, honey, remember you used to really like sewing a lot? You used to really like sewing. Let's go break that sewing kit out of the, let's go get that machine out of the garage. Let's put something together here. You know, next thing you know, there's just this brrr, Inspirato buzzing. bip bopping, bleep blooping around like a pinball machine. So we heard another fascinating forgotten tales there from our buddy John Garside, director of Max Neptune and the Menacing Squid. Please check out that film. We will get John Garside back on here. I'll call him up, actually. We'll do a Forgotten Tales podcast thing. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna call him up right now. Let's test this out. Oh yeah, it's working.
Hey there.
Hello. Oh, this is so cool. Okay, so this is great, man. Okay, so just so you at home viewers listening to Inspirato Projecto, we have John Garside here from Forgotten Tales, who's been like leaving lots of awesome little sound giblets that I've been weaving into this, and we also have Liam, who is building robots. Is that correct, Liam?
No,
you're completely wrong.
I'm developing video games.
Oh, you're developing video games.
Well, and how old are you, bud?
13.
So what video game are you currently making, if you're all right with talking about it?
I'm making a game called Superman 16. It's a demake of the popular, and I say that with air quotes, Superman 64.
Now explain what a demake is, Liam.
It's like you remake... You remake it, but you make it so it's like it's sort of older.
So in other words, I'm just going to help because in case anyone out there is listening who doesn't understand, like someone like me, see, Liam's already explained to me what it is. It's you take an old game, and what's funny or what's fun for these guys is to take an old game that was really horrible and make it worse.
That's brilliant.
Right? Am I? Yeah, that's not wrong. Right?
In a sense, it's yes and no.
Okay. Well, and explain it a little more.
So, Superman 64 was a Superman game, and basically, Lex Luthor sent you to a digital world where you have to save your friends by flying through rings. And the controls were like absolutely horrible.
And
everyone hated it.
What are you doing to make it worse?
I'm making it 2D, and you still fly through rings, and I'm trying to make the controls even worse.
That's brilliant. I'm trying to make the controls even worse.
Yeah.
So, what have you done to customize it?
Well, I'm just prototyping right now. All I have is graphics. But the controls, I'm going to make it just as bad, so, you know, it's going to be really delayed. So you press a button, and it waits a second, and then it does what you're trying to do.
It's great.
So you're talking about how you were making a sprite.
Oh, yes. A sprite is like an image that is used in games, and you can move it around and change what it looks like.
Now, Kurt, do you know what a sprite is on a video game?
No. Is that similar to like a symbol that you make in Flash animation,
well,
for instance?
Yes. It's very similar.
See, and I didn't know any of this, and so, you know, Liam, I hear about these things, and I'm learning. So when I heard sprite, I didn't know. He explained it to me. It's basically the image of the character that you're playing. So in this case, it's Superman.
Yeah, a sprite can be not just a character. It can be any image that's used in a video game.
See, I'm learning stuff all the time from him.
So, Liam, I want to ask real quick. Are you doing anything crazy to like make the characters look worse?
Yeah, it's gonna look simple, but I'm gonna try to just look really like derpy, I guess. So they look really stupid.
Are you doing anything to the colors to make it look even stranger?
No, the colors are going to stay the same.
Wow, how interesting. Now, do they have, I imagine a good convention would be, if they probably got them already, but I imagine it'd be fun to set up a sort of a poor man's version of one of these, a convention of, what do you call it, D-make?
D-make, yes.
Why is it called
D-Make? Do they have D-Make conventions? Oh, yeah. Yeah, go on.
A D-Make is... It's called a D-Make because it's a remake, but it's downgraded.
Oh. When I when you That's said great. D-Make, I imagine the letter D-Make, no. But it's D-E-Make.
Yes.
I see.
So here... So do they have conventions or anything where these people get together and kind of show off their crazy D-Make games and people get to play them and
no,
stuff?
No, the only reason I'm making it right now is because there's these things called game jams where you have to make a game in a short amount of time. And there's right now there's a D-Make jam and I'm making one. I'm making a game for it. And hopefully I'll win a prize. So,
now they've just to be clear, are you saying that no one's ever done an actual physical version of this where people can go there and show off their games no. and play them? Dude, we could be the pioneers of that. How that cool would that cool. be? Oh my god! And then you can help D-Make things with others, like maybe you choose yeah. teams and stuff. You know, you get like a ticket, and it's like, okay, these are your teammates today. You know, and maybe there's like a list of like what you know you kind of you cleverly call superpowers, which is basically what maybe each person's interest lies in. Like maybe one person is really good with this kind of thing, or a person is really good with that kind of thing. You know, so you sort of like you handpick your teams, perhaps, or you know maybe it's random, and you all have to figure out. Okay, now you go into a lottery of like what game it is yeah. that you're going to D-Make. And then plus you got people over there showing off their versions of the D-Make made games. Now, is it still copyrighted if you D-Make it? Is it still copyrighted or is it your
own
thing now?
Well, your game is not copyrighted, the code itself, but the images, it's sort of copyrighted. Like Superman is an intellectual property, but the art of Superman is not.
Yeah.
But it's sort of...
Huh.
It's hard to explain.
So... In other words, you couldn't, like, sell copies of your crazy D-made game,
I could
right?
sell it, but I can't sell it if there's, there are things that are stolen directly from Superman comics or whatever.
Oh, gotcha.
Is there another game you want to D-make?
No.
No.
Just this one?
Yeah.
Kurt, I was telling him that... He should try to, if he really wanted to make the game bad, he should try to incorporate the character that Richard Pryor played in Superman 3 somehow.
Oh my god, that'd be hilarious. Oh my god. Maybe the final boss is that guy, unexpectedly.
Well, and all he's doing is stealing one penny from every transaction. Remember that? I think that was the plot.
Really?
Yeah, his whole thing is
oh,
that
that's
he was
right.
hacking
that's right.
A bank's computer to steal one penny. From every it was a tenth of a penny from every transaction or something like that.
Oh, dude, it's so funny you say that because I was just thinking about Office
oh, yes.
Space because they oh, do yeah. something similar like that in that.
That's right. They
movie,
they even
right?
bring up Superman.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! Oh my god, that's great because I was just thinking about that scene. I was thinking about that the other day. And it's so funny that you're bringing this up. Now, Liam, are there now? Let's say, okay, with this in this day and age, with like all the crazy like graphics that are out there going on now, I imagine it would be fun to demake one of these. You know, let's say the new Red Dead Redemption, and you demake it. And now you make it look pixelated like a like a Super Mario's game or something. I mean,
is
that possible too?
Or you take one of the newer games and you make it older.
Oh, okay.
But he's
oh,
going
gotcha,
retro
gotcha.
And taking an old game and demaking it.
I'm making it even older. Yeah.
That's great. Oh, man.
Red Dead Redemption would be a good game to demake. We need.
Yeah, it'd be fun just to see that you know, really pixelated.
Like demake it to, like, Victorian era.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. So, now Liam, when can the world expect to see a Max Neptune, the Menacing Squid video game made by you? When can people expect to see that?
I might start developing on one of those. That's been an idea I've been playing with for a while. Like 3D game.
God, that would be so fun. Oh my God. That would be so fun. There's so many adventures that can happen within that universe. And can you imagine if it was like a Grand Theft Auto kind of Red Dead Redemption type of style where, you know, there are consequences to your actions. Like we could actually have a bad Max, you know, depending on the choices of the person playing him, you know, or he ends up working for freaking Dr. Agatch, you know, I mean, that would be interesting. You grow this, maybe you play as the characters or and in addition, maybe you can play as just your own, you know, kind of character. Maybe, maybe you choose the ASP. Maybe you go through the ASP and like, there's those like training things going on. Like I'm reminded in Red Dead Redemption where they kind of show you how to target the birds while they're flying around, you know, like how to target many things at once. Maybe there's that kind of thing going on there.
Imagine villains.
Imagine we start incorporating virtual reality. Holy cow. We get Casey involved with the crazy virtual reality stuff. Oh my God. A virtual reality Max Neptune. Holy moly. That would be crazy too.
You know what I've always thought would be a cool virtual reality thing is if we could, you know, we talk about, you know, everyone talks about time travel being impossible.
Well,
what if we were, you know, Google Earth? What if we could take old photographs of certain towns and then put them on a 3D model and then do virtual reality where we could walk around, let's just say back in 1887.
Yeah.
Using virtual reality, and we just the simple name for this VR would just be the time machine.
Dude, that would be awesome because then it could redress the cars as horses and carriages.
Well, you have
maybe you have the headphones on. The that would be incredible.
You know, certain shops in Whittier, we have photographs of the inside of those places, you know, like barber shops and pharmacies, and then would people map that out to walk into the actual business?
And AI would be really good for this because the AI would think about all these. We have like full 3D views of the current world, and it would take these only few pictures from the olden days, and it would take these pictures and it would think what would happen, how it went back.
Yeah,
and it would reconstruct.
That's right. That'd be cool.
God, that would be incredible. God, that would be so fun. You know, and then maybe there are some of them that are like, so you actually see like, all these different characters from, like, you got the Forgotten Tales mod where now you see all, you know, you see young workmen walking through the streets and he, you know, tips his hat to you or whatever.
Yeah, you can go up and visit the Electrodome.
That would be, that's right. Oh, that would be cool. Oh, yeah, you go up into the hills and you see the electrodome up there.
Time travel to the correct time period, though. You know, imagine if you go way back to where dinosaurs are, you know, you could travel back to that, too. That would be easier to do than the buildings, actually, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but see, I think that would be a cool virtual reality is to be able to time travel. Just simply call it the time machine.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, you know, because you just imagine like how you like instead of kids reading out of history books, they're putting on this virtual reality. They could actually go into those histories and see, you know, Abraham Lincoln giving the Gettysburg Address, so to speak. Or
what would be to be able to put on that headset, although it may be dangerous. There have to be a way to navigate cars and things. Be able to put on that headset and walk down the actual street.
Well, I mean, phones have like the Google Cardboard where you can just take the phone itself and it's VR and you put it on your head.
But imagine that walking down the actual street, walking down like, again, using Whittier as an example, walking down Greenleaf Avenue and being on Greenleaf Avenue, but in 1887. Do that same in Hollywood.
Yeah, man.
Down, Hollywood Boulevard, 1928, you know?
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. That's awesome. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I think it would be phenomenal. And I think it's, you know, it's just, it's probably already being created. You know, like they always say, quote, they, unquote, always say that the military or whatnot has like, you know, 40 years ahead in the future. They've got, their technology is that far. Basically, the rest of us are 40 years behind, so to speak, or whatever. So if they're on that cutting edge, holy moly, if we can imagine it now, then certainly, then I bet you there's certainly someone who just has the money, the know-how, the brains, to put all that stuff together.
Elon
That's probably
Musk.
Happening right now. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Dude, before you know it, there'll be just robots moving out in the fields, and it'll be people playing, you know, VR. They put the VR headsets on, and they're sitting in some air-conditioned booth someplace, and they're actually those soldiers, you know. So then there are going to be wars fought with these remote-controlled robots, so to speak. It's crazy how it's moving in this direction. If a nice guy like me can imagine that, imagine what someone who is a ruthless warmonger would think, you know.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you know, like, holy cow.
Terminators coming to life thing. And, you know, all of a sudden our Roombas are starting to attack us in our sleep.
That's right.
Someone's hacked our Roombas.
Oh, my God. All those Teddy Ruxpins.
Those Teddy Ruxpins coming to life. And
yeah, they all start waking
Teddy
up.
Teddy Ruxpin with its army of Furbies.
Oh, jeez.
It
like
would be.
Roombas and Teddy Ruxpins attacking.
Yeah, we're
yeah,
current artificial intelligent robots are attacking us, and it's only like, you know, Alexa, Furbies, perhaps
yeah.
a drone.
Well, holy cow! I mean, that is such an interesting, crazy thing. I mean, once because there are those quantum computers. You know, have you seen any of those videos about the quantum computers?
What's a quantum?
There are very few of them out there in the world.
What's a quantum
and
computer?
They're just like, well, the quantum computer. So, okay, the very little I know, I'm gonna give you my paraphrased version of what I was seeing in this video was basically the quantum computer. I guess our computers right now it resides its information or something in either the zero or the one. But the quantum computer utilizes both the zero and the one. So it can think like so far ahead into the future, so far into the past. It can solve things so quickly. And it all comes down, it's like it's housed. It's like this little tiny microchip that's housed in this like very, very cold environment in this, you know, in this facility that's just got like all of these – like stacks and stacks of like not terabytes, but whatever the higher
petabytes.
Numbers are, just up to the ceiling.
What's that, Liam?
You know, I think so. Like the biggest, you know, and these are
the
all powering this quantum.
Sorry,
what'd you say?
Peta.
Oh, peta. I'm sorry. I thought he said peta.
Like peta.
Oh,
it's
I'm sorry.
The same as peta.
I'm sorry.
Not peta.
That's my.
Oh. So they're built by what, animals? Because PETA sponsors
yeah.
it. Is that why?
Sure.
So this quantum computer, it's so smart, and it knows like, I mean, it explodes my brain, and I think, okay, if we got these, like, I'm sure you've seen. Oh gosh, what's her name? Sophia. Have you seen Sophia talking?
I've seen that. She's got
yeah.
Like
so
the
imagine,
head is kind of like you can see through it in the back.
No.
Yeah, which I don't. Which they only recently gave her a body. I'm so surprised they haven't fused those together in the past. So she finally has a body now, and I'm thinking, holy cow! If you put a quantum computer brain into someone like Sophia with a body, holy moly, watch out world, watch out. Like that would be the interesting thing to see how a robot brain would think about, if it even thinks about morality or ethics or anything like that, just by looking at statistics with war or statistics with peace or statistics with, you know, art.
We
or what
make
have
sure
you.
That the
and
feature little, on Wikipedia is locked down.
That's right.
That's where it's going to be pulling its data from. I noticed.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's good. Right. Oh my god. It pulls it all from Wikipedia. Yeah.
All of its information comes from Wikipedia. It doesn't double check Snopes.
Yeah. It doesn't double check Snopes.
It doesn't fact check or anything. It based all of its decision making off of memes that are posted on Facebook. Yes. That's it.
Oh my god. Oh, Liam, I wanted to ask you. So you tried on the Max Neptune helmet and chest piece?
Oh, yes, I did.
That was so awesome, dude. I keep thinking about how cool that would be to have young Max Neptune adventures. I just keep thinking how kick-ass that would be. And you, like, seeing you dressed in that, I'm like, oh, dude, this is awesome. He would be an awesome young Max Neptune.
Now, one thing that they had that you and Liam had in common was the sudden realization of what it's like to take that thing off. The rubber chest.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I can't get this off.
No, hold on a second. It went on really easy, though, right?
Yeah, it was so easy to put on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Gentle. It was so nice and gentle.
What do you remember about taking the Max Neptune chest piece off?
What's so funny is that it would yank on my ears. My ears were the things that it was, like, hard to fit around in.
My ears, yeah.
Yeah. It was like, and, but it was so sturdy. I mean, it was, it really took a beating, that chest piece. And, man, it's just, God, it was just so cool to see Nooch put that stuff together. And then you and your dad, man, what you guys did with the helmet was awesome. Liam, did the battery still work in that thing? Did those lights turn on?
Well, hey, you know what, Kurt? We got to cut this one short. We got to get going, but thanks for talking to us.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. So now I'll call you when you're back at work.
Let's talk again some in a little while. All right, man.
Okay, cool. Bye. All right, man. Take care. Good.
So my own imagination can conjure unlovely things if I dwell upon them, or the lovely things, but they can't be two gods. There can't be two creators. And if I can find that creator and identify him with my own wonderful human imagination, then I can't pass the buck. I can't turn to anything and blame it for the things happening in my life. But I know that many of us are not discriminating, and when we see our own harvest, we don't recognize it. We can't conceive that we, in some strange manner, permitted these things to be entertained by us. But we did. It could not have come to pass in any other way. So if I believe it and accept it, well, then I will live by it. And then when I know what I want for anyone, and this goes for everything in this world, whether now, this very moment, you desire happiness in marriage. You say, but there's not one person in my world that's eligible. I know no one. You don't have to know anyone. All you have to do is to decide within yourself what you want. Now, what would you do if it were true? Would you wear a ring on the one finger, which would imply that someone placed it there, one that you admire? Well, then, wear it there. Don't wear a physical ring. Put it on just as though he had placed it there. And sleep feeling that which you are feeling as real. Don't say it's all imagination. Certainly it is, because all imagination is Christ. Therefore, it's all reality. So when you say, well, that's only my imagination, well, you're just saying, well, that's only a thing called Christ. When you treat imagination that way, is there anything in this world that wasn't first imagined? Name one thing or point out one thing in this world for me that is now considered to be real, that wasn't first only imagined. What is now proved was once only imagined. Therefore, this is a true statement. All things were made by him. And he is your own wonderful human imagination. All objective reality is solely produced through imagining. The clothes you wear, the chairs in which you are seated, this in which we are now placed, everything was once only imagined. Now tonight, find out exactly what you, not what they think you ought to want, what you want. Ask no one's permission. You don't need any man's permission. You don't need your own decision. What do I want? Now, what would it be like if it were true? What would I feel like were it true? Now, catch the mood and try to give that mood all the sensory vividness of reality, all the tones of reality, and then sleep in it, just as though it were true. And then await the inevitable, The inevitable is you're going to resurrect it and objectify it on the screen of space. And then the world will call it real. And they may not believe you. It doesn't really matter. If you tell them it came to pass because you simply imagined it. Now, they'll point to the series of events that led up to it. And they will give credit to the bridge of incident across which you walked towards the fulfillment of that state. And they'll point out some physical thing that was the cause. Now, the cause is invisible, for the cause is God. And God is invisible to mortal eye. Who knows what you're imagining?
What you just heard there was Neville Goddard talking about imagination. And now this.
Fun fact, Gone with the Wind is the highest grossing movie of all time when adjusted for inflation. Stay tuned to Inspirato Projecto for more fun facts.
This is Robert from Twin Peaks, and you're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
Got a light.
All right, folks, we are back. You just heard the lap. I think it was called Lap of Luxury by Oingo Boingo. Now, I want to do a little experiment here. I thought this would be great.
Brian, if you could just play this however you want, and then Mike, if you can read from your book, we're gonna do the noise nutrition experiment right now. Oh yeah, that's perfect. Here, we'll do this. Oh, that'll be great. Yes. So we're gonna have Mike here read from his novel, his best-selling novel. And then we're going to have Mr. Brian DeVille here play some interesting noise things. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. You got a noise thing. Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, that's
okay.
Cool.
Okay, so you play that thing, and then I'll play the harmonica. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Unless you want to do both. It's totally up to you. All right, so, Mike, if you can get close to that microphone.
Sure.
And then we'll be just sort of like a bee in a background kind of thing.
Beat.
Oh, here. Here, so you can put...
Can I plug this in directly?
You know what? Things have changed since last time you were here. It doesn't do that stuff anymore.
This is fun already.
X-Strange.
Yeah.
X-Stranger than used to. All right, so...
Stranger.
Oh, yeah.
All
right, so if you can be as close to that as possible.
Sure. Yep, do well. You must have help. A rich person is a workable or a poor person, and a healthy person might have better means to go well. By nature. The company pushing these products would have a strong influence on other industries, such as the bottling company, who has ties to, also with the plastic industry, and also would have ties with big oil and so on. For these companies, all of these companies would want more goat urine to be sold for the name of profit. Why do people buy these types of products anyway? The smoke and mirrors effect is what makes these products more attractive. Look, Mom, this goat urine has vitamins. Please, Mom, will you buy it for me? What I see is a product of little value being fortified with a bunch of false hope to create maximum profits. Does this sound like today's breakfast cereal or what? How would we change this mentality? To change human nature is nearly impossible. People tend to see only the good in this world of illusion. Marketing people have had this knowledge, and they prey on these tendencies. Now, what can be done about our environment? Does anyone care about the trash island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean the size of Texas? We should, since we created this problem and it needs to be cleaned up. Now, will we stop using fossil fuel? The technology has been in existence ever since the first car was invented. However, there are fewer profits in electric cars compared to gas cars. So for the sake of profits, our bones now contain between 1,000 to 3,000% of the normal amounts of heavy metals such as lead and mercury in only 200 years of existence. Has anyone ever heard of autism and fibromyalgia? The CEOs have to realize that their children and grandchildren are just as unhealthy as the children living in the projects in Compton. These pollutants affect everyone. Big changes have to be made.
Well, I'll take a cheeseburger, plain, just meat, cheese, ketchup, and mustard, I guess.
Okay, do you want a combo or a bite?
A combo.
Sure.
With, an extra large Diet Coke.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that'll do it.
Okay, is that for you?
To go.
Okay, 9:41, you go
through. How's your day going?
Really good, actually. Picked up in the busyness. It was nice.
Yeah?
Yeah. How was your day?
Oh, it's busy. Busy. I'm actually talking to a friend right now who's doing a podcast.
Oh, cool. I love podcasts.
Yeah?
Hi, one moment, please. Yeah, I really like.
She said she has.
There's this one, Welcome to Night Vale, and then there's this other one that I like. It's called Serial.
Oh yeah, Serial. Yes, that's a good. Have you heard S Town yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, listen to S Town. It's a good one.
Do you want a copy?
No, that's okay.
Okay, no problem. Let me get you your diet. I'm gonna get
All right. Now I'm just waiting for my drink.
Kurt,
would you like anything?
Dude, that's awesome. That wild sound is great, dude. And by the way, Night Vale is a phenomenal podcast. It's very much like a Twin Peaks kind of thing. Oh, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, my friend says he's listened to Night Vale also and thinks it's a, like so Twin Peaks.
Yeah, there you go. Great.
I'll have to listen to that one. Excuse me. All right. Now I'm just getting a straw. So Night Vale, what's that one about?
It's kind of like it takes place in a town, in a very, very, like, very surreal kind of town. And it's really interesting. It's almost like told from the point of view, or at least it used to be in the podcast I heard. It's told sort of like from the point of view of like the news that's coming through. Like you're getting sort of like the daily news bulletin of the town of Night Vale. And so it's just telling you all this crazy information that's going on in the town.
No, is it a fictional story?
Yeah, because it's like crazy. Because it'll be like more dragons have been seen in the sky. You know, it's been reported, and also unrelated than in the news, more children have been missing. You know, so it'll just like have these really strange pieces of information. You're going, what is it like to live in that town? It must be so weird. You know, there's all these weird things going on.
Is it a mystery you have to solve? I mean, is there something more to it? Like you're getting little snippets of little snapshots of the city, and you're like figuring out what's happening there? Or
I think so. Yeah, I think so. It's, you know, imagine like if Orson Welles met up with like the writers of Onion.
Okay,
it's like that. You know, that kind of like it's just such a straight deadpan humor that like you're just like, wow, this is so like there's no irony in what's being said here. Like it's completely science fiction, but it's like man, it's just weird. You know, it's just so strange. Like, you know, Mrs. Wilson ran over more penguins today, you know, or whatever this she's being held in this mental institution again, you know, or something like that. If you'd like to visit her, you know, there are donations being made now to this post office box. You know, it's just really, oh man, it's just so interesting. And so it's a really cool one.
So what have we listened to on this podcast so far? So here, I'm guessing this interview wraps up your current podcast, right? Let's break down the fourth wall.
Yeah. This will...
So what have we already heard?
Yeah,
what have
yeah.
we heard so far on this podcast?
Oh, so this one, there was the interview with you and Liam earlier. Now, what I'm noticing with Anchor is that sometimes it will and sometimes it won't let me rename a segment. Sometimes it will or sometimes it won't let me rename a segment. And so just to let you know, if it shows untitled, you know, once I upload this podcast, if it shows untitled, one of those untitleds is basically the interview with you and Liam from earlier. I named it John and Liam interview, but it changed the name. So when I go to finally seal the deal, I think when I go to publish it, I think it'll save it. But anyway, that's on there. I also have some riffs. I've been playing more riffs.
I like it when you do that, by the way. I really enjoy that.
Thank you.
I enjoy listening to you jam out. It's cool, man. I think you need to keep my two cents. Keep doing that sort of stuff. I love hearing that unfiltered, just here's what I'm going to do, no apologies sort of stuff that you've been pulling. I dig it, man.
Dude, thank you, man, because I really want to highlight just the the process of creation. I really want to, you know, there's all that importance of being put on the genius, you know, the finished aspect of it. And that can, my dad and I were talking about that. We call it the paralysis of analysis. And I'm sure it's a phrase that's out there. But, you know, you get, think about it too much. You're just paralyzed.
Yes.
You're overanalyzing it.
Overanalyzing is the worst possible thing we can do as creative people. That's where writer's block comes from.
Oh God, it's crazy because it's like you know, there's the judges or the critics, so to speak, that critical eye that looks back through the information. It's like inviting it into a party where it just doesn't belong. Like, it's just not going to get along well with anybody else, you know. So you're like, okay, look, you have your own place, okay, you critics, you have your own place. That's later, you know. So you know, first phase, let the kids get messy, let them stomp around in the puddles, let them, you know, get, you know, put their hands in the mud.
Eventually they'll make mud pies or mud castles or
but first,
figure out what the heck it is.
Yes. And then, you know, if the kid, you know, asks for help, like, oh, can you please carve in some windows into this thing? Or can you please make a moat? Can you chisel a moat? You know, then you're like, okay, cool, let's go in there, you know, and then we'll go in there for repairs. But it's crazy because too many times people try to be both the editor and the artist at the exact same time. I've always thought that the revelation struck me that doodling is actually the truest art form that there ever was, because your mind is occupied. That's completely getting taken care of by talking to the person on the phone.
Yeah, I find I do most of my doodles on the phone.
Yes, because the other mind is not occupied. There's no critic going, oh, that's the wrong way to do it. Oh, don't do that. It's almost like there's that – you've made a you've resolved to just go, okay, this is a doodle. I'm just going to let it happen. And that's all that art wants to be. It just wants to be let happen. You know, it's just like, please let me
happen.
It really
is too bad we can't doodle in the shower. You know that? Because I do a lot of thinking in that shower.
Oh, man. Dude, you know, it's so interesting that there is I don't know, maybe there's soap or like zinc kind of soap that you can use to like draw like on your shower wall, like it's a whiteboard.
There's that soap crayon that you could draw on the tile with.
Yeah. More of that. Dude, that'd be awesome.
Oh, hold on, that's my order.
Oh my God.
I got my order. Here we go. Thank you. All right. I got to walk back.
Ask the girl if she's ever heard of Inspirato Projecto podcast.
Oh, she's not there now. Now she's working the drive-thru window now.
Oh, she's been replaced.
She's she wears many hats. I guess there are many visors, actually. They're just the visor.
Yeah, many visors. Many visors.
Yes.
So I think it's awesome that we got Liam talking about, you know, this crazy genre.
Oh, he loves it, man. He loves this
video games.
He spends, you know, there's so many kids that spend all day playing video games, and he's up there. It's probably an unhealthy amount of time at some points, but he's in front of that computer, and he's, you know, I'm proud of him because he's not just playing video games. He's interested in how they work. And that's really why I think he's into video games, is it's not necessarily because he wants to beat the game. It's because he wants to figure out how it was made. And that I can get behind. I admire that. Because, you know, that creative process too.
Yeah, man. I mean, you got to design this whole background. I mean, that stuff just baffles me.
The entire world, in some cases.
Especially like the World of Warcraft stuff. Like, it's man, all the little details that are in there. When you look at some of these video games, and you go, "Holy cow!" There were 3D artists who specifically made this rock out in this desert look this specific way. They specifically placed this bush here. They specifically made that coyote run across at that spot. You know,
I think it's the history buff in me that really would love to see
a video game. Well, I don't even know if you can call it a video game. It would be something where you can just walk around a town. It'd be like Grand Theft Auto, but without, you know, having to go shoot people. You just walk freely through a town. But I would really like to see, like, an old town, like based on reality that you can, like, explore, you know?
Dude, imagine, too, now you wrap into that sort of a storyline, so then in a sense you kind of make it a real life video game, but not a harmful one, you know, something where it's like you like everyone who's playing that game,
yeah,
you got visors on, you know, and you're like you said, like way back in the day. Maybe it turns into a detective kind of thing or something, you know, so you got to go up to someone, get information from them, you
yeah,
know,
like
there's
a true thing that happened
on
in the past, like a real thing, and
yeah,
in order to find out what happened you got to, like, you know, or even better yet, let's say you discover a historical story like I occasionally do, then you can input that story so that other people can relive it. So now, you know, on
ooh,
this date, the Electric Dome was turned on. Well, now you can go up to the hill and witness it if you go to that certain time.
Whoa.
Time machine, man.
You know what's so funny? I've come to realize that every single thing that we can imagine right now can absolutely
oh,
be done.
Easily.
I've been proven so many times right. You know, it's so funny because, like, all this stuff we're saying right now is completely, like it'll be a complete no-brainer to many people out there who already know how to do this. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know.
Well, we're
how
talking
to do
about
that.
Right now, 50 like, years from now, kids will be able to do this with, you know, some pocket device that they bought at a toy store for $25.95 or something, you know?
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, when you saw the evolution of – I was beside myself when I first saw digital cameras at Toys R Us for kids. And I'm like,
yes.
What? Like, what? How do you make it that inexpensive? I mean, to go from, you know, thousands of dollars to then, you know, to this little miniaturized, okay, now there's a camera in, you know, in Barbie and Ken's foreheads, you know, now. And they can record their, like, oh, hey,
now,
what's going on?
Now, you know, the government can spy on our children through Barbie and Ken's
forehead. Yeah, right, exactly.
All of a sudden, everyone's got tape on Barbie and Ken's forehead.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, yeah. Dude, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. The tape on their forehead.
You know.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm back at work.
That's
I've got
great.
My lunch. I've got work to do, so I better go in, and it looks like we're at 13 minutes on this this here interview.
Oh, that's
but,
good.
But thanks for having me on your show, man.
You're welcome. Can I just get a close-up sound of the bags? Like, I assume you've got your food with you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Can I hear the – oh, yeah.
Mmm.
That is good.
Mmm. Smells good.
Yeah.
I can smell the fries. Mmm. Here, you want a close-up sound of me chomping on a fry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes,
okay,
please.
Hold on, I have to dig in my bag here. Get a crispy one, because you want to – here we go. Mmm. Hold on. Let me do that again. Mainly because it's good. Hold on. Mmm. Oh, man. I better do that one more time.
Crunchy.
Here we go. This is a good crunchy one. Okay, that was a soggy side. Hold on. Here we go. Mmm. So good.
Crunchy-licious.
Oh, so good.
Crunch-delicious.
So good.
Aye, aye, aye. That is good. Holy cow. I could tell that there are a lot of peaks and valleys in those.
Oh, very good. Oh, you can see those, huh? You can hear those.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really
yeah.
are. Yeah. Crisp cut.
I could see the edge. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to do this more often, Kirk, because I really – you and I have some fun conversations. I don't know if anyone else wants to hear them. I don't care, but it's fun for me.
Right.
I don't know if it's fun for you, but it's fun for me to know that we're documenting some of this stuff, and I think it can only get more absurd and fun in the future.
Oh, God, I agree, dude. Well, thank you so much for being there and sharing your fries.
Hell yeah.
All right, I'll make sure to call you again later.
All right, fry you later.
All right.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.